Hey, everybody, the elites of our country want us to no longer be a country, but instead a colony. That transformation is underway. What percentage of people do you think will be illegal in America by the end of Biden's term if we don't do anything? I want you to guess, then listen to this program. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by taking your podcast app out and typing Charlie Kirk Show and hitting subscribe in the upper right-hand corner, or email me freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's Turning Point USA needs to be the hub for education movement across the country. Get engaged, get involved, start a high school or college chapter where we boldly empower the citizen to rise against totalitarianism and tyranny. Support our show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. What type of a thing is America currently? It's important that we're able to describe and label and characterize what we are living through. We are supposed to be a constitutional republic, but a constitutional republic is simply an adjective. It is a description of the type of thing that we are. We're a country. We are founded as a nation. Our country has a birthday. We celebrate that birthday every single July. The fact that America has a starting point is a big deal. Most countries don't. Can you show me the day, the time, and the reason the British Empire was founded? Probably not. You could have like a rough approximation of maybe 100 years. How about the Chinese Empire? Maybe a rough approximation of 1,000 or 500 years. Just kind of slowly meandered into existence. But America was summoned into existence. It didn't just kind of stumble through the night and just kind of realize, well, I guess we're a country. We are a country that came forward because of the wishes, the demands, and the wants of our founders and our framers. We're a country. A country is something very unique. A country requires citizens. We've talked about what it means to be a citizen at great length on this program. A citizen is not a subject, it's not a serf, it's not a slave, it's someone who is aware, it's alert, who holds the people in power responsible. In a country, a constitutional republic of a country, the many rule the few do not rule the many. In a constitutional republic, we have separation of powers, we have an independent judiciary. Now you contrast that with what we are quickly becoming. Yes, we are becoming an oligarchy, but we're becoming something different. Because even an oligarchy can still be a country. But we're almost going through a different type of thing. We're quickly becoming, we're transforming into what the business tycoons have always thought we were, and some of them want us to be. We're slowly no longer becoming a country, but we're becoming a colony. A colony is a completely different type of thing. The colony is what we were. The colony is what we left. We were a colony before July 4th, 1776, we were a group of colonies under the jurisdiction of the British Empire. A colony is a place where you still have some form of a semblance of representative government. You could do trade and you could engage in markets and you could still own property, but you don't have your own identity. You're under kind of a threshold of another more powerful structure. A colony also means you're kind of a mixture of people. There's really not an identity. There really isn't a through line of a shared or combined story. A great example of what a colony would be kind of Hong Kong 50 or 60 years ago. Hong Kong, to a lesser extent, is no longer a colony, is now under the Chinese Communist Party country. A colony would be a place where people come and they trade and they have commerce, but there is no through line. A colony is a place where anyone can come and anyone can leave, and it's kind of no holds barred. It's not there to stay. A country, by definition, is supposed to have an anchored permanence. So as we are seeing what is happening in our country right now, Biden and his regime, they want to try to execute the metamorphosis of America being a country into a colony. colonies are easier to control because the citizens don't really believe they have something of a shared value. There's no Pledge of Allegiance in a colony. There is no shared ideal. And so when you have a country that then participates in intentional decisions where it doesn't matter who comes into your nation, it doesn't matter what they believe, it doesn't matter what language they speak or what language they don't speak, it doesn't matter because what makes the country no longer a country is they don't think there's anything special to being an American. They don't believe in American exceptionalism. They don't believe that there's a shared and combined American story, a journey. They don't believe that the principles of Madison and Jay and Hamilton and Jefferson or Franklin are anything unique. And it's exhibited by exactly what's happening on the southern border. You see, they want America to be a colony where anyone can come and anyone can go at any time, living under the oppressive totalitarian regime of the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. You see, what makes a country is self-determination, self-government. You call your own shots, but if you are merely just a pimple under the largesse of another governing structure, do you really have self-government? So what percentage of a country being legal citizens would make you no longer be a country and no longer be, now then be a colony? If you look around and you take a random sampling of people in your nation and you say that person is not there legally and they're not a citizen, what number would you have to surpass? What threshold would you have to overcome where you no longer are a country? Now, maybe the number would be maybe 1 out of 20 people, maybe 1 out of 10 people. Well, at the rate we are trending at, an alarming and stunning and sobering number shows the attempted transformation, the metamorphosis to try to make America no longer a country into a colony. In Cut 4, Lieutenant Governor of Texas Dan Patrick says that 1 in 5 people in America will be illegal non-citizens. Play Cut 4.
You're seeing the first step of a constitutional showdown between the governor and the legislature and the state of Texas and the federal government. Because Jen Psaki, how dare her say in her press conference the other day, well, this is a publicity stunt. What's the problem? Don't you like illegal immigrants, Jen? Doesn't the president want them in his home state? By the end of the first term of Joe Biden, nearly 20% of all Americans will be here illegally.
20% of all Americans. You take a random sampling size at a sports game or in a city, and 1 out of 5 will be here illegally. Now, what is the reason for that? Part of it is because of political power. Part of it is because they want to try to have demographics that fit their narrative, that fit their political outcomes. They brag about it. We're not allowed to say this out loud. When we say it out loud, we get called all these terrible names that we're engaging in replacement theory. I don't even know what that is. Just go and, Connor, pull up the clip of Castro saying it. Pull up the clip of the Democrat operative saying it. They say that just a matter of time, because of the open southern border, Texas will become a blue state and the country will be permanently transformed. But it's beyond that. They're not just trying to transform the politics. They're trying to change the type of thing that we are. They want you to get used to living amongst foreigners. Now, immigrants can be a wonderful benefit to a society. But when is too much too much? Now is too much. When you have in Minneapolis, the city council now allowing the call to prayer to be issued 4 times a day in Minneapolis, you got to ask yourself the question and say, was that in the vision of the founding fathers to try to stay consistent with self-government and liberty and values and virtue? I'm all for religious expression and freedom, but is that consistent with the values of Minnesota to make it Mogadishu? I don't think so. So when you have unrestrained immigration, both legal and illegal, the thing that we are starts to change. Almost every day we hear about another major corporation that has gone woke. Disney hates you, and everyone should cancel Disney. They hate families. Disney made tons of money off of being family-friendly and family-safe. Now it's time to divest from Disney. So a lot of companies like T-Mobile that's firing all their unvaccinated employees. They're tormenting their employees with leftist propaganda and funding organizations who seem to hate this country. And so I was on a mission. I was seeing how much I was spending on my cell phone bill, how much Turning Point USA was spending on our cell phone bill. I said, I'm so sick and tired of giving these anti-American cell phone companies my hard-earned money and our amazing donor money at Turning Point USA. So I told my team, I said, go find the cell phone company that shares our values. And I remember I met this guy, Glenn. We'd run into each other a couple times, and he was super enthusiastic, always wore this like red polo, said Patriot Mobile on it. And I saw him again at an event. I said, okay, now you really got to sit down. Like, let's plan some time together and talk about this. So we had this meal in Dallas. This was back in November, and he laid it all out. And I got it. I was like, wow, okay. So you're a conservative Christian cell phone provider, and I don't have to pay all these woke companies. And it just like clicked in a minute. I said, let's partner together. Let's have you on the show. Let's do some things. And that's how it all started. So Patriot Mobile, they have plans to fit every budget. And their U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious liberty, constitutional rights, and the sanctity of life. So make the switch today. I know the whole management team behind Patriot Mobile, Glenn, all of them, they support Turning Point USA. They support us beautifully. So you go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. People ask all the time, Charlie, what do I do? What do I do? Well, a good way to start is, you know, make your cell phone bill, whatever. It's if you see it on your cell phone statement, you get your cell phone statement, you might as well just say, oh, that money's going to the DNC or that money's going to Christian conservative organizations or a company like Patriot Mobile. So you get a free activation with the offer code Charlie. They also have special discounts for veterans and first responder heroes. It's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Or call 972-PATRIOT. Join me and the Charlie Kirk Show in our change to Patriot Mobile and forgetting all these woke, awful, terrible cell phone companies. Portions of this program, the Charlie Kirk Show, are brought to you in part by Patriot Mobile. It's patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Minneapolis mosques to broadcast call to prayer all year round. Minneapolis City Council member Jamal Osman announced this week that mosques will be allowed to play the Adhan several times between the hours 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. daily all year round. The Muslim call to prayer will soon be heard regularly in parts of Minneapolis. Now, I'm not even going to get into the constitutionality of it. It probably is constitutional, and they'll probably win in that way. However, the question is, why and how did Minneapolis get to a place where they have enough people that would tolerate it? That's the real question. So it's really an immigration question, right? I mean, if you try to play the call to prayer in Colorado Springs, Colorado, or in Lubbock, Texas, that dog won't hunt. You try to play the call to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer, in Enid, Oklahoma, not going to work. Jake was in Enid with us, wasn't he? Yeah, he was in Enid. Call to prayer wouldn't work there, right? No. The point is that how did the city of Minneapolis change to all of a sudden where there's people demanding the call to prayer every single day? And of course, it's because of mass immigration. And this is one of the immature ways we talk about immigration in our country. And look, I fully admit, and I know, in fact, I see it firsthand, that some immigration can be a massive benefit to a country. Of course, prudent and let's say wise immigration policies can be a benefit. But whatever benefit you might see from a certain population of immigration, you could have a massive and detrimental and civilization and cultural ending downside of the wrong types of immigration. Now, someone say, well, Charlie, what is the wrong type of immigration? How about groups that don't assimilate? Assimilation is always a key component of immigration. So when you come to America and you feel compelled that you now need to go broadcast the call to prayer all throughout Minneapolis, I don't know if that's assimilation. Maybe you think it is. I don't. And not to mention, you have Ilhan Omar, who has nothing nice to say about America. She's an ingrate. And of course, we talk about these things conflated. I don't even talk about what's happening on the southern border's immigration. It's illegal border crossing into America. It's breaking into our country. And you look at the 1950s, after World War II, we declined immigration rates dramatically. For about 10 years, we had very low legal immigration rates as a way to try to digest the meal, if you will, of a mass immigration surge. American Immigration Acts, American immigration policy went up and it went down and went up. And when it went down, it was largely because people said, wait a second, wages aren't really increasing. We need some time to assimilate. We need some time to bring these people into our country appropriately. And so just so you know the numbers, we give out anywhere between 1 to 1.5 million green cards every single year. That's just legal. And that is way too much, like extraordinary too much. And then illegal immigration, we have anywhere between 2 to 5 million people illegally crossing into our country. All of that being said, as Dan Patrick articulated it, Lieutenant Governor of Texas, terrific guy, 1 in 5 human beings in America will have been here with criminal trespassing into our country, breaking in. 1 in 5 people will have shattered the window to break into the living room of America. 1 in 5 people, brought to you by the cartel. And so the people in charge have a decision to make, and the decision they're making is, let's just change the type of thing America is. This whole idea of being a country, we don't like it. It kind of gets in the way. The idea of being a country, we have to deal with all those people from Nebraska and Kansas and South Dakota and Iowa and the panhandle of Florida and northern Arizona and southern Utah. We don't like those people. Instead, let's just change the type of thing that we are. We've had more people move to America since 1965 than we have from the discovery of America until 1965. Massive immigration, mass immigration, uncontrolled, imprudent, reckless immigration, which what we have now is an assault on patriotism, our country, and a shared cultural identity. If 1 in 5 people are here illegally, do they have reverence for Thomas Jefferson and James Madison? Do they appreciate the American story? Maybe, probably not. And so that then changes the type of thing. It breaks apart the fabric of our nation. You just stop being a country and you just kind of become this mixture of different languages and cultures, and all you really have is commerce. And that's really what the corporate elites want. They want the colonization of America. But first they have to break the type of thing that we are. Now, what is the reason they want to try to turn America into a colony and no longer be a country? Well, colonies are easier to control. Think about it from just kind of our founding. We are now reversing the founding of America. We're almost going backwards in time. It's like the Benjamin Button of America. It's like we fully develop into a constitutional republic. We go back into what we were. If you don't know who Benjamin Button is, it's a rather entertaining movie of a guy who ages backwards. It's very interesting. And they tell us why they want to do this. And if we dare say this out loud, they lose their mind. I don't have any sort of agenda as to I want this to be true. The media loses their bearings when you even mention this. They say that there's some sort of racial underpinning. No, it's just listen to what their own words are. Julian Castro brags that in a few cycles, the electoral votes of Texas will be going to Democrats because of mass immigration. Play cut 14.
In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth of folks from outside of Texas.
Because of demographics, because of population growth. He's bragging and with a smug smile. Now, thankfully, 9 years later, he's wrong. And I will say this, that there is kind of this attitude sometimes in Texas where it says, keep Californians out of Texas. In Austin, that's probably true. But if you look at the data, Texas has net benefited politically from out-of-staters moving to Texas. It's been a net benefit, especially in Plano and in North Dallas. There's been plenty of negatives, but generally more conservatives than not have moved into Texas. Arizona, that is not the case. It remains to be seen in the coming months how Arizona shakes out. Florida, massive increase. Cut 15. This is Judith Brown Dianis, We Are Democracy 2019 conference, who says, look, people know, they say that demographics are not destiny. Well, we're trying to make it destiny. Play cut 15.
So that when we get to 2042 or 2045, whatever year you want to use, that we actually will not be suffering from what other countries like South Africa have, which is having the numbers but not having the power. We want You know, people say demographics are not destiny. Well, we're trying to make it destiny. So that's the work that we're doing.
Amen. And that's a perfect note to transition to the next piece, which is intersectionality.
So they say it out loud. They say that they want loose immigration policy, mass immigration, to try to change the country that we live in. That is the agenda. Now, mind you, it seems as if there is not this like overwhelming urge to try and have immigrants come into America that share Western values. Now, it seems as if there's always kind of an urge to try to bring people into America that are distant from the story of the country, that are at odds with it, actually. Distant from what it means to actually be an American. Ilhan Omar is the best example of this. Ilhan Omar has nothing but negative things to say about America. She's a member of Congress. She was saved from a refugee camp thanks to the benevolence and the generosity of America. Now, don't you find it interesting that there was this massive push for Afghan refugees, mass media campaign, yet there really hasn't been much of a push for Ukrainian refugees, where Ukrainian refugees are much more in alignment with Western values and traditional conservative values, by the way, than Afghan refugees. There was a mass media campaign to try to bring Afghan refugees in. I haven't seen that same sort of mass media campaign. There's been a little news story here and there about bringing some Ukrainian refugees. 4 million Ukrainian refugees have left Ukraine and come into Poland. And one of the reasons why the World Economic Forum is okay with that is because it deteriorates sovereignty of Ukraine into Poland and destroys Polish sovereignty. Monica Crowley said this on Steve Bannon's program recently. It was a very, very smart point. But why isn't there a mass media campaign to try to bring Ukrainian refugees in? Some of the most conservative, hardworking, down-to-earth, incredible people that I know are Ukrainians. And really conservative. So why wouldn't the regime, oh, maybe that's why the regime doesn't want them in. There might be a couple things on the edges to bring Ukrainians into the country, but nothing like Afghan people. Why is that? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And so they say, oh, no, that's Poland's responsibility, or it's Europe. So let me get this straight. So it's Europe's responsibility to bring in Ukrainian refugees, but it's not any country in the Middle East responsible, like Saudi Arabia's responsibility to bring in Afghan refugees, or the United Arab Emirates to bring in Afghan refugees, or Yemen or Oman. Yemen's a little war-torn right now. So it's a regional problem when Ukraine gets blown apart, but it's a global problem when Afghanistan gets blown apart? Why is that? Let's go to cut 9. Obama DHS Secretary Jay Johnson on the influx of illegals at the southern border under Biden. Now, this is a huge opportunity for conservatives. There's a massive opportunity, two of them, opportunities that are just being missed right now. Number one, there's a great opening to win over black voters and win over black independents around this idea of open borders. They don't support open borders, and they shouldn't. And also win over Hispanics. Play cut 9.
Without a doubt, these are large numbers. But still, numbers at these level are difficult to handle. And obviously, the Biden administration is paying a political cost.
Now, you better believe they're paying a political cost. People are upset. They're beyond upset right now. In fact, MSNBC is even admitting this. In cut 17, Joe Scarborough rails against the white woke Democrats who are now losing the minority vote. If Republicans talk about law and order, crime, the southern border, inflation, we're going to see a huge potential to win over minority voters in a once in a generation opportunity. Play cut 17.
But let's just say it right here, and let me say it slowly for my Democratic friends in Washington, D.C. Black voters are more conservative than you are. White woke leaders in Washington, D.C. Hispanic voters are more conservative than you are. White woke leaders in Washington, D.C. Asian American voters are more conservative than you are, white woke voters in Washington, D.C., and they're more conservative on crime. They're more conservative on education. They're more conservative on, quote, these woke issues. Get off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. Can you please? I know you've done it a lot.
No.
Can you explain to white woke leaders? Can you explain to them that they're not only losing white dudes in the upper Midwest, they're losing people of color?
Joe Scarborough is saying, look, white woke Democrats are going to create a massive political liability. He's right. Do you know that most Hispanics don't think men can become pregnant? Most Hispanics believe men cannot become pregnant. Type into Google, can men become pregnant? Everyone should do this. Type it into Google. It says this. Men can become pregnant if you type it into Google. Male pregnancy is one of the first things that pop up. It is possible for a person to be pregnant if they identify as a man. Why is it that the regime of Silicon Valley and social media and in all these people, they find it so insistent to push forward these unpopular, these radical, and these fringe ideas despite the cost that is being associated with it? And there is a serious political cost. There is a cost of open borders, a cost of a porous country. Most people actually want to live in a country. They do not want to live in a colony. And you're seeing this actually in France. You saw this in Hungary. There is a worldwide trajectory right now, not just in America, of a rebellion and a push against the colonization of the West. In France, there was a very narrow election that will go to a runoff between Marine Le Pen and against Macron, and they're now going to a runoff. Now, I'm not going to say that we're behind Le Pen or not behind. I don't know enough about her. I don't. People seem to really like her or hate her. The media totally hates her. I need to learn more about her. I'm not into French politics, nor would you expect me to. But I do know that from just reading a little bit about this, there is a resurgence of French everyday people that are pushing back against the World Economic Forum and French identity being destroyed. The West is pushing back against this idea that we must be ruled from Davos and you have nothing that ties you together to your fellow countrymen. So HIT Strategies has been conducting weekly focus groups to find out in real time how Americans are processing what's happened so far in this calendar year. On Monday night, we watched discussions, this is Politico.com, with two different subgroups of partisan Democrats assembled by the firm. Black base always votes for Dems, ages 25 plus, and youth base always votes for Democrats, ages 25 to 39. There were significant differences between the two groups of 9 voters. Between were some broad takeaways: a preoccupation with inflation and crime, exhaustion with pandemic restrictions, cynicism about politics, deep frustration with Biden and Democrats have failed to deliver on their early promises, some sympathy for Ukraine mixed with a lack of enthusiasm for Biden spending too much time and money on the issue, and ambiguity about how January 6th should be for Democrats in the midterms. This is their base. Their base is not even buying any of this stuff. But watching the 3.5 hours of conversations, you notice a yawning gap between what Democrats here in D.C. are saying and what their most loyal voters are experiencing outside of the Beltway. This is especially true on 2 issues. Politico writes, the economy. A cottage industry of White House officials and left-wing media critics who talk to each other on Twitter have convinced themselves that the media is responsible for the public overwhelming focus on bad news of inflation rather than the good news of low employment and rising wages. When the voters were asked to describe how they feel about how things are going, their base responded with exhausted, uptight, unsure, concerned, and anxious. That's their base. A woman from the Boston area who went first mentioned rising gas and food prices, food shortages at her local Whole Foods, and the increasing cost of housing. It just seems like everything is going up and there's no end in sight. Well, you voted for it, so I don't feel bad for you. In the other focus group, a black man from the Houston area talked about trying to subsist on 12 and 13 hour jobs as he was being offered, quote, no one can live off of that, especially with inflation. Well, I don't know if you voted for Democrats, but if you did, you got what you wanted. You didn't think through your vote. We tried to warn you. MSNBC says that this is what Democrats are focusing on. They're focused on censoring conservative voices on social media like me, college campuses becoming liberal echo chambers, the push to be politically correct, and canceling historical figures. District attorneys in major cities are going soft on crime, bail reform failure in New York, crime spike in San Francisco, and 2020 support for defund the police is haunting the Democrats in 2022. Meanwhile, you contrast that with the most fired up base I've ever seen. Conservatives, Republicans, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a single conservative in the country that does not show up to vote and bring 10 people to vote in November. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a landslide. I'm not going to say that I am not ready to bring it to the bank yet, especially with our insecure elections in some states, the lack of voter integrity bills, all sorts of things happening. And there's a couple wild cards. There's a great book in that book, great article in the New Republic. Democrats are not dead yet. I agree. New Republic is a communist rag, but it says, despite conventional wisdom, the party is not doomed in November's midterm elections. The economy, COVID-19, the invasion of Ukraine, and January 6th insurrection are all wild cards. Well, I agree, they're not dead yet, but they're not really making any sort of meaningful changes or adjustments to try and capture swing voters or persuadables. In fact, it seems to be the exact opposite. In fact, it seems to be that they are doubling and tripling down on what is unpopular. It says here, young people want to see action. A warning sign about young people's political enthusiasm came out of Virginia's governor's race. Young people are not enthusiastic for Democrats. They are experiencing the crushing weight of their student loan debt, their inability to buy property, the breaking of their financial feasibility to be able to survive. Virginia was a canary in the coal mine for Democrats, but I think things are even worse today than they were for Democrats in Virginia back in November. Elections are there for a reason. They are the check and the balance for the people, the sovereign, for us to give our power to people in charge. And there's something looming here, but to tie it all together, the regime and the people that are making decisions in America, the elites, they do not want us to be a country any longer. That's really one of the things on the ballot coming in November. Do you want America to be a colony or to be a country? Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today, or email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.